Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to this presentation for the ACE and JCP&L SREC-based financing program. During the presentation, all phone lines will be in listen-only mode. At the end of the presentation, we will announce the opportunity for listeners to ask questions. Instructions will be given at that time. This presentation will be recorded, and an archive playback will be made available. The Q&A portion of this conference will be posted as FAQs on the website but will not be recorded. If you need any assistance during this call, please press star zero, and someone will help you. At this time, I will turn the call over to Chantelle Lacasse of NERA Economic Consulting.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this call. I have with me Jean Meehan, who's also from NERA. NERA serves as the solicitation manager for the ACE and JCP&L SREC-based financing program, and what that means is that we will be administering the request for proposal or RFP under this program. You'll notice, and I hope that everybody was able to get the presentation this morning, that the presentation is titled Program Update, and that's because we have a presentation from April on our website that does provide an overview of the main feature of the program. And the presentation this morning will also go over the main features of the program, so in that sense, it will have some overlap with that previous presentation. What's different for this morning is that we're also going to give some of the details on the practical procedures for submitting a proposal under the ACE and JCP&L program. I'll start on slide two with a bit of a disclaimer and reminder to everyone that documentation for the program is available on our website, and the website is www.njedcsolar.com, and that documentation is mainly the request for proposals under the JCP&L and ACE SREC-based financing program. That's the main document that describes the program, the requirements, and the procedure for providing a proposal under the program. There's also the SREC purchase and sale agreement, and that's the contract that a winning proposal under the program that receives an award from the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities would sign with the EDC, either ACE or JCP&L. And there are also decisions from the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities that are related to this program. These documents are all available for you on the Documents tab on the website. We're going to be giving summaries during this presentation on the slides and verbally of those documents and agreements. And they're really summaries only, and they're qualified in their entirety by our reference to these documents and agreements this morning. On slide three, I have a brief outline of what I'm going to cover this morning in the presentation. In the first three topics, we're really going over the main features of the program, talking about the goal of the program in the overview, talking a little bit about the planned quantities of solar projects under this program, and also about the requirements, that is, what makes a solar project eligible or not under this program. In the next two topics, I'm really going over the practical procedures of submitting a proposal under the program. I'm going to talk about the fact that the submission of a proposal is really a process in three distinct steps, and I'll talk about each step. And I'll also give some detail on the evaluation procedures for the proposal and the steps toward an award. There will be, after the presentation, an opportunity for everyone to ask their questions, and we'll be happy to provide answers on this call. The questions and answers will then be put as FAQs on our website. So starting with the overview on slide four, I just want to highlight at the outset that ACE and JCP&L SREC-based financing program is not a loan program. it's really a program for the purchase of SREC, that is, of the solar renewable energy certificates that would be generated by solar projects. The program then is designed to provide reasonable assurances of the revenues that could result from that project's generation of SREC, and therefore to enable financing of new solar projects. Now, I said that the program is for the purchase of SRECs. It's really just for the purchase of SRECs. That is, it's important to note that ACE and JCP&L are not purchasing the energy or the capacity from the solar projects, but only the SRECs. Now, this program is consistent with stipulation and orders from the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities, that is, it comes from a proceeding in front of the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities, and there has been an agreement that's in a stipulation, and there are orders from the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities regarding this program. In particular, what has been decided is that the agreement, that is, the contract that an owner of a solar project would sign with either ACE or JCP&L, if that owner were given an award under this program, would be for a term of 10 to 15 years. Under this program, what's anticipated is that there's going to be three solicitations in a given year. And a solicitation is an opportunity for participants to provide their proposal under the program. And there's three solicitations, the first one having a due date for the bids of August 25th. And this is the solicitation that we'll be concentrating on this morning. And when I say three solicitations per year, it's a bit in square quotes in that it's a year from June 1 to May 31st. One of the requirements of the program is that the participant has to have completed an initial application process with state programs. And the state programs that we're referring to here is either the Renewable Energy Incentive Program or the SREC Registration Program. So that step has to be completed for a project to be considered under the program. On slide 5, you have a table that gives you quantities that are planned in terms of procuring those quantities in the three solicitations for this particular year. So in this first solicitation, for which bids are due August 25th, what's planned is to procure 5 megawatts, so the figure you see in the table are in megawatts, 5 megawatts for ACE and 11 megawatts for JCP&L. In a second solicitation, roughly the same quantities, 5 for ACE again and 12 megawatts for JCP&L, for a total of 23 megawatts for JCP&L and 10 for ACE for the year. And the third solicitation, you will note, it just says to be announced, and that's because this third solicitation would have a quantity that would be planned for it if, for example, the quantity that's planned right now for the first or for the second solicitation was not completely awarded. And that could happen for a number of reasons. It could be because there's not sufficient bids for the full quantity that's being planned for that solicitation. Or it also may be that even if there were sufficient bids for a given solicitation, that not all of those bids are accepted or receive an award under the program. It could be that the bids do not or the proposals do not fulfill all the requirements under the program, or it could be that they do not get recommended by the solicitation manager or approved by the board. And one of the factors in this recommendation and the approval by the board of awards under this program is an assessment of the competitiveness of the pricing. So proposals may be rejected if the price is not competitive. So if the planned quantity in the first or the second solicitation is not completed in those solicitations, it may be that some of that quantity gets push back to the third solicitation. It may also be that in that third solicitation, there is actually a certain portion of next year's quantity that would be brought forward to that third solicitation and would be procured then instead. Now, those quantities are just for the first year in total over the program. The program is expected to procure 61 megawatts of solar projects over the 3 years, and that's divided between JCP&L and ACE in 42 megawatts and 19 megawatts. So in the first year, as I mentioned, it's 23 megawatts for JCP&L, 10 for ACE, for a total of 33 megawatts on an aggregated basis for the two EDCs, for the two utilities. In the second year, it's 15 megawatts, and in the third year, it's 13 megawatts. So on slide 6, there's a bit more detail on the standard contract. I mentioned that if a project does get an award under this program, then the owner of the project would be signing a standard contract with either JCP&L if the project is in JCP&L service territory, or with ACE if the project is in ACE's service territory. And that standard contract is called the Standard Purchase and Sale Agreement, or PSA. In the documents, in the RFP documents that are on the website, we're being a little more precise maybe, and we call it the SREC PSA in those documents. So we already mentioned that under the terms of the order from the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities and the stipulation, the contract is for a period of 10 to 15 years. And as we'll see, this is something that is at the bidder's option in the sense that it's part of the bid, what the term of the contract would be. The price for SRECs that would be given under this contract, again, if there's a proposal that's successful, that's recommended by the solicitation manager and approved by the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities, that price that would be received for each SREC is constant over the entire term of the contract. The contract has several requirements, and we're just highlighting a few for you here. One is that it requires an inspection by a verification agent from the Board of Public Utilities Office of Clean Energy, and that inspection is at the cost of the project. It also requires a utility meter that would measure the output from the project, and again, that is paid for by the project. Finally, there's also required under the terms of the PSA a cash deposit, and that would only occur if the proposal is accepted, recommended, and there's an award being given to the project by the Board of Public Utilities. That deposit then is made within 14 days of the date of that award, and that cash deposit would be refunded unless the project is not producing SRECs within 1 year of executing the contract. The project will be paid for the SRECs that they produce on a quarterly basis, and that's after these SRECs have been created and tracked by the PJM Generation Attributes Tracking System or the GAS system. On slide 7, there are various characteristics that make a project eligible for an award under this program or not eligible, and I'll go over a few of them with you. Some of them we've already talked about, so if you looked in the column of projects that are not eligible, some of these not eligible are circumstances where the owner would not accept a term of the contract of the purchase and sale agreement or PSA. So the last one in that column, for example, if a participant does not agree to the term of the PSA, then that project for that participant would not be eligible under the program, or in the same way, if the participant does not agree to other requirements of the PSA, such as installing a meter at the project's expense, then that precludes the project from being eligible under the program, or if the participant does not agree to the net metering arrangements that are required by the PSA, then that would render the project not eligible for this program. Now, looking at other requirements, we've also talked about the fact that to be eligible, a program has to have cleared the initial application process with state programs. So that's at the bottom of the eligible project column. So if a project has cleared that initial application process, so again, the programs that we're talking about here are the REIP or the Renewable Energy Incentive Program, or what's also possible is an initial application under the SREC registration program. So it has to have cleared that hurdle, so that's the first thing, but there's a second part to this in that it has to also be true that the project has not and will not request an internet connection before the Board of Public Utilities approves the bids and the awards. So if you want that bullet, describe what we mean by in the documents when we say that the program applies to new project, what we mean is it has to have cleared that initial application process, yes, but also it has to not have been completed in the sense of not having requested the interconnection before the Board of Public Utility approves the bid. There's also certain requirements on size. So the requirements are that the project has to be 500 kilowatts or less, kW or less, where the measurements we're taking here is a DC rating. In particular, what that also means, and that's on the not eligible column, is that if there is a larger project, it's not allowable under the program that a portion of that project be used to submit a proposal under the program. So if there's a portion, even if that portion itself is less than 500 kW, if the project in aggregate exceeds 500 kW, then that's not eligible. There's no requirement that it be residential or commercial. Either one will work, so either residential projects are eligible under the program. Commercial projects are eligible under the program. The project can reside in either ACE's service territory or JCP&L service territory, but not elsewhere in New Jersey or elsewhere, period. It can be either the customer that submits the proposal or the developer that submits the proposal. So when I talked about the contract, I made the point that it has to be the owner of the project that will sign the contract, the purchase and sale agreement, but it can be either the customer or the developer that submits the proposal under the program. Two last characteristics that would make the project not eligible under the program. One is if it's interconnected at transmission voltages. The second is if the project has received or will receive rebates from the core program as it was in force between 2001 and 2008. On slide 8 is just a screenshot of what our website looks like. So again, that's www.nj for New Jersey, EDC for Electric Distribution Company, solar.com, and you will find documentation for the program, including the RFP documents, the forms that I'm going to be talking about very shortly, and board orders and stipulation under the document tab on that website. You also have a calendar that will remind you of the various deadlines under the programs, there's an FAQ section that has the questions and answers, that will have the question and answers from this call, but also any question that is submitted to us, we provide an answer by email to the questioner, and then we post a question and answer on the website. And you can ask that question by going to the Contact Us tab, and you'll see there's a link to add a question and a form to be able to do that. So starting on slide 9, I'll be talking a little bit more about, again, the practical way of submitting a proposal under this program, how to do a response to the RFP documents. As I mentioned at the beginning, that response is really a three-step process. The first step is an expression of interest. The second step is the submission of the bid. And I'm putting pricing proposal here to mean the bids because it's the term that's used in the RFP documents. And finally, there's a qualification package, so there's a number of forms to be able to show that the project does fulfill the requirements of the program. So I'll be going through each of these steps in turn and then talking a little bit more about the ranking of the proposal, the evaluation of the proposals, and then the steps that follow that evaluation towards the awards. On slide 10, I'm talking about the first step in that three-step process, which is the expression of interest. So first, let me highlight for you that there's a form for this expression of interest. It's available right now on our website, and you'll see that it's fairly easy to fill out. What it requires you to submit is an email address. And that email address is where we're going to send information back to you, so it's important that it be your main email address where you would be able to retrieve any documents that we send back to you. The second portion or required information here is what we call in the RFP documents the NJCEP application number. That is, that's the application number that's given to the project under the initial application process. Again, the initial application process, what we're talking about here is the initial application process under the state programs, that is, under either the Renewable Energy Incentive Program or under the SREC registration program. And finally, we're asking for contact information for representatives or for an individual. We're also giving you the ability to put the information for two individuals if it's possible that we would have problems getting in touch with the main person. And we would use that contact information in particular if after a successful expression of interest, you submit a bid form and we need to get in touch with you, we're going to use the contact information that you provided in your expression of interest. Now, that expression of interest is submitted by email to us, and the email is provided in the documents. It's njsolar@nera.com. So that expression of interest is submitted by email. We assess that all the information is there, that the expression of interest is complete. If it is complete, then what we're going to return to you is a bid form. That is a form that you will use to put in your bids or pricing proposal. Instruction for the submission of that pricing proposal, of that bid form, as well as a password that, again, you would use to submit your bids or pricing proposal. Now, the deadline for the expression of interest is noon on August 20th, so a little bit over a week from today. Slide 11 talks about the second step in the submission of the proposal, which is the submission of bids or pricing proposal. So I just mentioned that one of the documents we would send back to a participant that has successfully completed the expression of interest step is instructions on how to submit the bid form or pricing proposal. How it's submitted is by electronic transfer, and that is very simple, really. What it is that we're going to give you instructions on how to log in to a particular website. Once you're logged into that website, you upload a file to the website. That's basically like putting in an attachment in an email. It's not more complicated than that. And that allows us at our end to download that file. So we have a document that is really a step-by-step guide on how to do that with some screenshots so that it can be simple for you. In the bid form that we will send back with the expression of interest and that you will use to submit your bids or pricing proposal, what you will be submitting is, again, the application number with the state programs. So, again, the application number from the REIP or the SREC registration program. A price. So that's a single number, a single price. Because if you remember, under the contract, under the PSA, all of the SRECs are given the same price. So you submit that price. The length of the contract. So that has to be between 10 and 15 years. The size of the project in kilowatts. And finally, the EDC territory where the project resides. So that is either the project is in JCP&L's territory or it's in ACE's territory. Once we receive this file, so once we're able to download the file that you will have uploaded through the website by electronic transfer, then we're going to confirm receipt with you. We're also going to assess that nothing was forgotten on that bid form, that the bid form is compliant with the requirement. And if there is an issue, as long as you've submitted your bid form ahead, then we can discuss with you what needs to be done for the bid form to be fully compliant with the requirement, and you would have an opportunity to resubmit, as long as you do that, of course, before the deadline. And the deadline here is noon on August 25th, 2009. The next slide, on slide 12, discusses the third step of submitting a proposal, which is the qualification package. That qualification package is submitted to us by overnight delivery, so FedEx or any other overnight delivery service. And the address is provided in the RFP documents. It's 1 Gateway Center, Suite 720, Newark, New Jersey, 07102. And basically, as I said, this qualification package is to make sure that the project for which you're submitting a proposal fulfills all the requirements under the program and also is able, the participant is able to fulfill all the requirements on the contract, so for the PSA purchase and sale agreement. So what you would submit as part of your qualification package is first a copy of your materials from the initial application process. So again, that's the initial application process with the state programs, either the Renewable Energy Incentive Program or the SREC Registration Program. There's also required a project proposal summary sheet, and that has various pieces of information about the project. There is a form on our website that's available that takes you step by step on the information that's required there. There's a customer acknowledgement form that could be required as well. And finally, a final form that's called Certifications and Checklist for Qualifications. So all the certifications that you have to make under the RFP document are given to you here, so you don't have to transcribe them, type them yourself or whatever. All that's needed here is a signature if you do agree with those certifications. And that form also gives you a checklist of the documents that you would have to submit and allows you to verify that your qualification package is complete. We assess the qualification packages, but only after the bids have been ranked. So from our perspective, we look at your expression of interest, that's your step one, to make sure that everything we need is there and give you the documents necessary to submit bids. You submit bids using the bid form, and we make sure that the bid forms are compliant. We would rank and evaluate those bids, and I'll talk a bit more about that in a second. And finally, we would assess whether the qualification packages are complete. The deadline for the qualification package is the same as the deadline for bids. That is, the qualification package must be submitted before noon on August 25th, 2009. Slide 13 has basically a reminder of those deadlines that I just spoke of. So the deadline for the expression of interest is on the 20th, Thursday the 20th, and then the deadline for the pricing proposals that you submit with the bid form, and the deadline of the qualification package with the forms that we just mentioned is on August 25th. But also, this schedule also reminds you that the RFP documents were first posted on July 30th, just a little bit after the website for this program was launched. So starting on slide 14, for the next few slides, I'll talk a little bit about the evaluation process for the bids. So the first step is ranking the pricing proposals, so the bids that are being received, and that's done on an anonymous basis. So the ranking is really done on the basis of the net present value, or NPV, of that would be under the contract for each annually delivered SREC. And I'll explain a little bit what that means in a second, and there's going to be an example in the slides, and that example is also in the RFP documents with additional explanation if you need to refer to that. So the projects are ranked according to this strict number, the NPV, and I'll explain a little bit how that NPV is calculated. They rank according to the NPV, and then projects are selected based on the lowest NPV, net present value, either up to the number of megawatts that are being solicited in that particular event, or up to the point where pricing is no longer competitive. So as we discussed in the previous slide, there's an evaluation by the solicitation manager of whether the pricing is competitive, and a recommendation by the solicitation manager to the Board of Public Utilities concerning the award under this program. So it could be that the first project that gets rejected is because the full quantity has been filled for this particular solicitation, or it could just be that that's the first project where the pricing is no longer competitive. Once the projects are ranked, there's an additional step, because there is, under this program, a developer cap, that is a maximum to number of awards that can go to one developer, and again, I'll be a little more precise in the next slide on that, and that limit is set at 20% for each territory, that is, for each of ACE and JPNL separately. And that developer cap is applied to the ranked projects. Slide 15 talks a little bit more about the developer cap. So first, it's a cross solicitation, that is, it's applied in each solicitation to the quantity that has been awarded up to that point. And that means, for example, that if a developer didn't win anything in this first solicitation, then once we get to the second solicitation for this year, if at that point the quantity that had been awarded was bigger, then it would mean that it could win 20% of the total quantity awarded over this first plus the second solicitation. So it could win more than strictly 20% of the quantity in the second solicitation, because it could win 20% of the total quantity awarded in both the first and the second solicitation. So more precisely, where this developer cap applies is that there can be no one entity or no combination of affiliated entity under the same majority ownership that can obtain more than 20% of a particular EDC, so either ACE or JCP&L, of that EDC's long-term contract in any one year. So that's the restriction very precisely. The next slide has an example, of the net present value calculation. Again, as I said, this example is also in the RFP documents with more explanation, but let me guide you through a little bit what is here. So the first thing to note, if you look at the lower and smaller font table, it has for both JCP&L and ACE a particular discount rate. So the discount rate is different. For JCP&L, 6.87%. For ACE, it's 6.66%. That discount rate through a formula gives you a yearly and then a cumulative factor. So the cumulative factor you'll see in the right-hand column of that smaller table for a term for the contract of 10 to 15 years, which again is the duration that's allowed under this program for the contract. That cumulative factor is used together with the price to get the net present value. So multiplying the price times the factor gives you the net present value. And that's what you see in the higher of the two tables. And you see that examples for various terms of the contract and various prices. So for each term, there's a different factor. So for a term of 10 years, for example, what you see on in the table is a factor of 7.0660. And that multiplied by the price for that particular project of $375 gives the net present value. So when the projects are ranked, they're not ranked strictly by the price. They're not ranked within a given term. How they're being ranked is on the net present value. So combining the price that's submitted and the term that's submitted also by the participant in their pricing proposal. The first ranked project is the project with the lowest net present value. And again, all projects would be ranked in this manner. So slide 17, and for the next couple of slides, we're giving a little bit more detail about the process. So the proposals will be ranked on the basis of the net present value. There's also a developer cap that will be applied to ensure that no one developer or combination of affiliated developer under the same majority ownership could get more than 20% of the quantity that's awarded in this solicitation. And then the next step is for the solicitation manager to present its preliminary recommendation. And those recommendations are presented to the parties, namely to EDCs, to ACE and JCP&L, as well as Rate Council, as well as staff from the Board of Public Utilities. Those parties then have an opportunity to provide input on the recommendations of the solicitation manager. And those recommendations could include the recommended awards, but also the amount that should be solicited in the next round or next solicitation, as well as the competitiveness, the assessment of the competitiveness of the process. So the solicitation manager then considers the input from the parties in forming its final recommendation to the Board of Public Utilities, and the ultimate decision on the awards here rests with the Board of Public Utilities. So those final awards are determined by the board, and then the solicitation manager, once that step is completed, would notify the participants and announce the results. Now, the results that are announced are not all of the details. They don't include, for example, any individual pricing. What we're talking about is the number of bids that are received in terms of total megawatts, how many awards are being made, again, in terms of total megawatts, and how many bids were rejected for various reasons, such as the application of developer cap or prices not being competitive, etc. On the next slide, we're putting this process a little bit in context in terms of giving you some idea of the time frame that we're talking about. If you remember, the deadline for the pricing proposals and for the qualification packages would be August 25th. And then the preliminary recommendation, and this is tentative because it depends in part on the schedule from the Board of Public Utilities and the ability of the parties to meet to provide their input on the recommendation. The preliminary recommendation would then be roughly September 3rd, so that's roughly kind of 10 days after the pricing proposals, and again 10 days for the parties to provide their input, another 10 days for final recommendations to be made for the board to the Board of Public Utilities, a few days, 5 days roughly, for the Board of Public Utilities to be able to hold its meeting and decide on the award, and then the announcement of the results. The final step to this process is the execution of the contract, and that comes later after the order from the Board of Public Utilities is no longer subject to appeal, and the deadlines are given more precisely in the RFP document. So that would put the execution of the contract, again, between the owner of a project that has been given an award under this program and either ACE or JCP&L at roughly November 2009. And that concludes the presentation.